First Kings, chapter number 17. First Kings, chapter 17. Familiar reading. And I want to preach good to you tonight. And I trust that you'll help me. And believe that God's going to help us. And I'll tell you, I love God's way of living. Best of all. I love God's way of living. We had a long service this morning and went and ate and then just got ready right quick and turned around and headed back. I mean, that's all right. What's wrong with that? I mean, devil don't have time for nothing then, does he? I mean, you go home and you get ready for the service. The next time and devil just don't have much time to fool with you. Amen. The closer you are to God, the farther you are away from the devil. I'll say this, and then we'll read and preach. We sitting around the dinner table, but Sparks is home, and I'm not real sure. My wife and I was married yet. I don't believe we was. And we was sitting around there, and we was passing the food around. And they had just set the mashed potatoes on the plate, and I mean, they were steaming. It kind of reminds you of going to the Mexican place and they say, hot plate, hot plate. I mean, this was a hot bowl of potatoes. I mean, they were steaming. Boy, they looked good too. And Brother Sparks passed them around and he handed them to me and he said, hurry, get them. He said, they're hot. Don't make me hold them. And I grabbed them and set them down. I said, wow. I said, that's just the way that I want to be when it comes to the devil. Amen. I want to be just so hot that he can't keep his hands on me. Huh? Come on here. You stay close enough to God and the fire will build up so hot he can't stand close to you. Hey, that's right. Amen. I mean, the closer you are to God, the farther you're away from the devil. Ain't that right? Yeah. Amen. 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 I want to try to preach to you if we can just a little while. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Beginning at verse number 7. I do want to say we appreciate the offering. Just about forgot it. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 7. We're kind of jumping here in about part way of this story. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, talking about Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it to me, unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen. You may be seated if you want to. Amen. Sometimes our life takes us down unfamiliar trails, unfamiliar roads, or uncharted waters, places not yet discovered, things that we're facing we've not already faced before. Just something new, something brand new. I mean, there's times that we face battles, Brother Horn, they come and seem like they're gone. They come and they go. But it seems like there's some that you just, they linger for a while. Seems like the problem is there. You get up of a morning and the situation's there. You go to work of a day and the situation's there. You go to bed at night and it's just still there. Amen. But God here, we've read, He had already used Elijah and prophesied of no rain. And He spoke to him and said, go to Zarephath and I'm going to sustain you there. I'm going to take care of you there. I've already got it fixed in front of you, is what He was telling him. And aren't you glad for the times when God comes by and He just says, look, go on ahead, but I'm going to fix it for you. It's already prepared for you. And just go ahead and do what I've told you. Amen. And we find Him here. We find here when He gets to where the woman of Zarephath is, this widow woman, we find that there's two people that's at the lowest point. This mother and her son is as low as they can possibly get. Amen. You can't get much lower. One more handful of meal and just a little bit of oil. You don't get much lower than that. I mean, that's the bottom of the barrel, they call it. That's just about all there is. But we understand that while provision takes her to the gate, put together these two sticks so she can dress it for her son. And she meets the man of God. And I love the times when the man of God comes by. Oh, yeah. I mean, sometimes you just need a word from God. And the man of God is just exactly right on time. Aren't you glad for that? I appreciate it. Whenever God sends somebody by. Amen. And I want to preach just a little while, if I could, simply on don't knock it, just try it. Amen. Don't knock it, just try it. You've heard the phrase that says, I just don't believe I want any of that. I just don't believe I'll try that. Especially young folks. And I was the same way. Mama wanted me to try spinach. I didn't want no spinach. I didn't like it. I didn't like the looks of it. She said, you ever try it? No. Well, don't knock it till you try it. And I tried it, now I like it. Greens, mustard greens. I love mustard greens. I used to not like them, but I like them now. Amen. Come on here. I got to the point, Brother Danny, I've tried them. I had to try them before I found out if I liked them or not. Come on now. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe I want none of that serving God. I just don't believe I want none of that stuff. Well, don't knock it till you try it. Amen. I mean, when you try it, it makes it just a little bit different. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, yeah. Elijah tells her. He said, he catches her there at the gate and he said, hey, I need a drink of water. Bring me a drink of water, why don't you? She never says a word to him. She just turns away and starts to go get his water. Amen. Oh, yeah. And he says, would you bring me a morsel of bread? And by this time, she couldn't take it anymore. Can you imagine meeting somebody when you're in that kind of low state and they're wanting something from you and you need something from somebody else? I mean, you're needing to move of God and they come up wanting something from you. Amen. They just come to where you are and they just demand and say, hey, look, here, I need this. Won't you do this? And in her mind, she probably walked away thinking, man, what kind of guy is this? What in the world is going on? I mean, here I am. I'm on my last mission. I mean, this is going to be it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to die. It's going to be it. And he's wanting a drink of water. Who is this guy anyway? Come on here. That's about the way some folks look at the preacher. They say, what in the world is his problem anyway? Amen. Well, we know the story goes on. And he says, hey, just bring me a cake. Bake me a cake and bring me. She can't take it no more. She said, look here. We're going to die. I mean, I'm going here to gather these two sticks. I've got just a little bit of oil and just a little bit of this. And I'm going to make a cake for me and my son and we're going to die. Amen. I know you've heard this before. Just bear with me just a little longer. And so he says, well, you go do just what you said. Amen. In other words, don't knock what I'm asking you to do. Just do it. Just try this. Just do it. And then he went on to tell her. He said, here's what's going to happen. Amen. He said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until that day, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. In other words, what God's going to do, He's going to fix it to where you'll just have enough to take you till times get better. Oh, come on here. Amen. I've heard people say that every time she went to that barrel, she just pulled the lid off the top and scraped some off the top. I'm not going to knock anybody if they believe that, but the Bible said that they would not waste. And I believe that every time she probably had to reach down in there and got another cupful for that day's provision. Got just enough to make it, but the Bible said it would never fail. Oh, come on here. I mean, there was just enough. There was just enough. Oh, I want you to know, don't knock this until you try it. Somebody said, I just don't believe it'll do any good. Don't knock it. Don't say anything against it. Just try it. I mean, commit it all to God and try it tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah. See, there come a time there. She had to stop thinking of herself and her son, her family and her situation and her problems. She had to start thinking of somebody else. Oh, come on here. I mean, in this world we live, living for God, it ain't just always me, myself, and I. There's always somebody else in line. Come on here. There's always somebody else that needs help. There's always somebody else that needs a touch of God. And you don't ever understand. You might be the very one to go to them and pull them out. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we got a problem in this hour. And the problem is we get to the place where we think we have to know everything. We think we got to know where everything's coming from. We think we got to know whatever's going to come, whatever's going to happen. It's got to be just like we thought. It's got to be just like we prayed. And we get to the place that we don't ask God, we start telling God. We start saying, hey, now look, it's got to happen this way, and it's just got to work this way, or it just ain't going to work. Come on here. And all the while, God's folded His arms back and saying, when you get through, when you get out of my way, quit knocking what I'm doing and just try what I've told you. I'm fixing to bring revival. I'm fixing to bring a glory down. I'm fixing to bring deliverance. I'm fixing to bring something that'll keep you until something comes better. Hey, come on here. I'm bringing something to you that's going to keep you until glory comes. Oh, God. We need something to keep us until glory comes. We need something to keep us until the Lord returns. And I'm telling you, don't knock this. Just try it. Immediately when people get saved, and even before, they say, oh, I can't live that life. I just can't live that life. I mean, men, they get into certain channels and they get into certain walks of life and they start doing things in the world and they start looking like the world and smelling like the world and acting like the world and dressing like the world. And when they get saved, I mean, hey, it changes them. It makes them different. Amen. We had a brother come to our church, come for a long time, and was coming and he'd pray at his seat. Finally, one time, he come up to the altar and he prayed. And he had a beard and a full mustache and long hair. Amen. I mean, he just didn't look the part, you know. I mean, he just needed more of God, and that was obvious. And so we just prayed for him. We just really started praying. And I'm not saying that the beard and mustache made him lost. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying he was different. So we prayed. He came up to the altar and he prayed. And prayed real good. I mean, he prayed good. He never got emotional, never shook and thrashed around. He just prayed real good. And that was like on a Wednesday night, I believe it was, and Saturday night. The doors opened and I looked and there was some guy come in. And I thought, man, who in the world? We got somebody new tonight. We've got a visitor here. And we just all kind of whispered among ourselves. And somebody finally said, yeah, that's, you know, who? And I said, what? Come on, that guy looks so different. I mean, when you get a hold of it, it'll absolutely change you and pull you out of what the world looks like. It'll make you a different, separated person. Oh, God. And then we have our women. They'll walk in this world and they look like the world, smell like the world, and they dress like the world. Come on here. But you take the Holy Ghost power of God, gets a hold of a woman. I mean, when she comes back to the house of God, she dresses like a woman. Hey, she starts acting like a woman. Hey, come on here. They start looking like a woman. Oh, I mean, the real power of God will absolutely change us. Somebody said, I can't do it. Don't knock it. Just try it. Hey, I said, don't knock it. Just give it a try. Wow. Don't be bound down to these little old things. That the devil would hold you down and hold you captive over. Turn it loose. Let it go. Amen. You know, here, a preacher could, when you get in this kind of situation here, you could probably jump on a hobby horse and start slapping things around. And start naming things. I don't have a problem with naming things. But I feel like in the middle of people's hearts, they know. Come on, help me here a few more minutes. In the middle of their hearts, way down deep, they know. They know it's between them and God. It's like Brother Danny was teaching this morning. He said that he had went out and backslid on God and he'd come back. And thank God that he'd come back. Amen. But he said there was a little problem that he had with somebody while he was out. And so when he come back, he was doing good. Said every now and then that would come back up. And he'd pray over and he pled the blood on it, he said, and pushed it aside and got rid of it for a while. But oh, it come right back up. That's just the way these things are that I'm talking to you about tonight. You and God knows exactly what they are. Hey, don't knock it anymore. Don't fight it anymore. Just come to the altar and say, oh God, I know you've been dealing with me, and I'm going to give it up. I'm going to quit it. I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to quit knocking this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to put this on. And I'm going to wear this glory of God. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start living this. Oh, come on here. I mean, you're talking about revival. When you quit knocking it and you quit giving it a problem and you say, I'm going to do this. Amen. Oh, God. We understand. Amen. This miracle that took place here in Zarephath. Can you imagine this widow woman as she began to tell folks? See, look here. Look here. Can you imagine her meeting them out by the... Now, Elijah never said you're going to have to quit gathering sticks because your sticks are going to be laying at your front door every morning. He didn't say that. He just said that the meal in the barrel wouldn't fail and the cruse of oil wouldn't fail. He just said it'll be there. And so every day, if she wanted to eat, she had to go out and do something. And I can just about imagine her meeting somebody at the gate, gathering some sticks. Hey, how are you today? Hey, I'm doing just great. What do you mean? I don't understand. We're in a famine here. Ain't been no rain for so many days. And I've got this problem. My meal barrel's getting a little low. My cruise of all's getting a little itchy. I'm afraid that before the rain comes, I'm going to be in trouble. Hey, I ain't got that problem. What? What do you mean you ain't got that problem? I just ain't got that problem. Why? Well, I quit fussing with God. And a man of God come by and said, do this. And I've done this. And God has never let it fail. God has never let it waste. Hey, how about you? I mean, you talking about the stock market here. I mean, she had a stock market going. I mean, it was good. She was on the top. Why? Because she tried it for God. Amen. 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 Yeah. Ain't no trouble. Ain't no problem. Ain't no circumstance too hard or too heavy or too far that God can't come to where we are. and help us. And help us. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. Some folks might think it's silly at the way you act sometimes. Some folks might think it's silly it's your attitude about things sometimes. I mean, if God be for us, who can be against us? Come on, think about that here now. I said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. He said, hold your peace. And I'll fight the battle. Don't knock it. Don't fuss with it. Hey, come on here. Just try it. Just try it. Amen. Some folks pray for a PhD in this thing. And it ain't the PhD you're thinking about. I mean, Brother Danny, they start praying for a PhD and they look at it as like a punch hole through deacon. Come on here. Come on, help me preach for you more minutes. I mean, that's the PhD they're talking about. They think that's the only way to get it done. Punch a hole through the deacon. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is getting to the place that we can pray heaven down. Amen. Amen. We don't knock it. We quit fussing with it. And we get to the place that when we pray, we get that PhD, come on here, that simply says, I'm going to pray heaven down. Amen. Oh, yeah. I'm going to seek God until God comes to where we are. And God said, hey, don't knock it. Just try it. Don't fuss with it. Just try it. You know why God says that? Because He knows the future. Amen. Did you hear Elijah fuss with God when God said, go to Zarephath and I'll have a widow woman sustain you? No, he didn't fuss. He just made his way to Zarephath. Why in the world do we fuss with God? Why don't we just jump on the boat and take off and say, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to sing it. I'm going to shout it from the housetop. I'm going to do this. Amen. 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 Oh, yeah. How about it tonight? When we deal with God, we must trust Him. We must trust Him. Amen. Some folks are satisfied with just small things. They're satisfied with just nibbling around the edge and that they're good. They feel satisfied there. My wife's little brother, when I first come into the family, and my wife and I started talking, I used to get so aggravated that boy. He was just little then. And as he got older, I mean, his mom would make a pot of chili, and he didn't like beans. And if you don't like beans, that's, bless your heart. I love them. I like them. Amen. But he was so finicky that he didn't like his chili with beans in it. So you know what Mama done? She sat down with a spoon and picked them out. I said, man, what's wrong with you? Your mama sat there and slaved over that stove. And I know chili don't take 3 hours to make. I mean, I know. It's just pretty simple. But I said, she made that, put all this stuff together, and now you're going to make her sit down and pick it out again. I said, you need to grow up, man. I said, you need to quit fooling with this stuff and learn to eat. Well, it didn't change him. He kept on. We'd sit down to biscuits and gravy and fried potatoes and soup beans and cornbread. And everybody sit still here now. I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. And you know what he'd do? He'd go over to the microwave or to the oven and Mama doesn't have it warm or whatever. And he'd stick an old pizza in there. He'd come waddling over to the table and sit down with a pizza. And us with cornbread and soup beans, I said, man, you've lost your mind. I'm not satisfied with no pizza when I've got the real thing sitting in front of me. Come on here. That's just the way it is with serving God. Don't be satisfied with a little twitch and a little jerk here. Don't be satisfied with just a little ripple moving up and down your spine. I mean, get in there until the glory rolls. Until the fire starts burning. And you can't contain it. You can't be still. And you get to the place that you quit fighting God and you start working with God. Wow! I mean, I love to eat. I was talking to a friend of mine one time. I asked him, invited him over for something. I don't remember what it was. Oh, yeah. Invited him to a revival he's having at the home church. Nah, he said, I can't go. I said, well, how come? Well, he said, down at church, he said they're going to go downstairs and during service, and he said they're going to have cookies and Kool-Aid for the kids. I said, this is all going to go on while church is going on upstairs? Yeah. We call it refreshments, he said. Whew. Man, I mean, Brother Randy, I started preaching right then to myself. I said, wow! Man, that'll preach Brother Greg Hackworth. He's finds something, he hears something that he likes. He said, man, that'll preach. And that's what I was doing. I said, ooh, man, that right there will preach. And I got to thinking about that. You know, you fix them green beans. I don't fix them, but I've seen my wife has, and my mom and my mother-in-law and my grandma and everybody. I've seen all them sisters fix fresh green beans out of the garden and then little bitty new potatoes. Hey, I'm a country boy, can't you tell? Amen. And I remember those things and I got to thinking, hey, how in the world would I miss a revival where the beans and taters were sitting out in front of me and all I had to do was go in there and get it. I mean, we was having a great revival. And I told him, I'd been telling him how good it was. I ain't no way I'd satisfy for going downstairs in some musty old basement for some cookies and Kool-Aid when I could go and really have a move of God. I could really have a revival. I could really have something that would stir me and hold me over. You eat a cookie and drink a glass of Kool-Aid, you got about 15 minutes and you want another one. Go ahead and sit down to a big plate of. You know, I shouldn't be. We just ate today, and I'm as full as I can be. Why I'm preaching on food, I don't know. But you sit down to the table, and there's that pot steaming full of green beans and taters. And then on this side, you got a plate of. Fresh, now I'll give you that. I'll give you fresh homemade chocolate chip cookies. And Mama's old-fashioned recipe for Kool-Aid. Amen. Amen, I'll give you that. I'll make the cookies the best we can. Amen. But I don't want none. I'll pass them by, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll save them for dessert. That's what I think about them. I'll save them for dessert. Amen. Oh, yeah. You think I'm crazy, don't you? You think I've absolutely lost my mind. But you know, there's people that's satisfied. I'm trying to relate that to the way people think of the house of God and people think of the blessings of God. They're satisfied with just the little dilly-dally things around the edge. They're a little bit scared to jump all the way in and just dive in and get it all. I'm telling you, it's time in this hour we live to dive in head and ears. I mean, go wading in. Go wading in. To swimming water. Don't quit. Just keep it going. Oh God, God begins to deal with you. You need to lay this down. You need to lay this down. You need to pick this up. You need to start doing this. Don't fuss with God. Just say, okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Don't knock it. Just try it. My wife and I got married. I don't even guess I knew what a casserole was. I mean, I just never, I probably eat it and didn't know what a casserole was. There's all kinds of casseroles, I found out later. But my wife made a broccoli casserole. Well, this would be a fantastic message for homecoming, wouldn't it? I mean, right now, God had to preach quick, wouldn't he? People would be going out the door. Amen. Woo! But she said, here's some broccoli casserole. I said, shoo-wee. I don't want none of that. She said, I made it. And I like it. And it's good. And you need to try it. And I thought, well, I fussed at Ike for dilly-dallying and eating junk. And here she has fixed this, and now I'm fussing. I said, well, I ain't going to like it, but I'm going to try it anyway. I dipped it out on a plate. You know what happened? I took me a bite of that stuff, and I love it. Amen. I mean, she says, what do you think I ought to take to the homecoming? Broccoli casserole. Come on here. What do you think I ought to take down to so-and-so? Broccoli casserole. Hey, come on here. I mean, it's good for you. Hey, it's good. I mean, come on here. You may not like it. I don't know. It may not satisfy your taste. I don't know. But all I'm telling you is don't knock it till you try it. Don't fuss with it till you try it. I mean, you want a blessing from God. Let's get a little closer to Him. Let's draw a little closer to Him. Hey, this Bible brings us close to God. If we'll live by it. I mean, it'll take us right to heaven's gate. If we'll live by this book. Amen. Amen. You'll gain more weight eating junk. And you will, instead of eating good food. Amen. Especially when you start dipping it here and Swiss rolling it here. Boy, I'm on it here, ain't I? I mean, just all kinds of little junk stuff. It ain't going to last. And we come to the house of God and we say, oh, Lord. Why did our service not go any better than it did? Why did so-and-so not get the help they need? Come on here. Sometimes it's probably because when we prayed at home, we just got into where we smelled the cookies. And we didn't go a little further to see what else was being made. Come on here. Because just a little further on into the kitchen, a little closer to the table, was the good stuff. Come on here. And we prayed just long enough to feel just a little bit better. But oh, it wasn't enough. I mean, it wasn't enough. I mean, I know sometimes we get busy. And sometimes we get a little tired and we get a little weary. But that ain't no excuse not to pray through. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something here. If you're really praying and you're really seeking God, you're going to live close to God. I said, if you're really praying and really seeking God, you're going to live close to Him in spite of yourself. You're going to live close to God in spite of yourself. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to serve God. Amen. Well, What do you think? I think it's time we quit knocking it, started trying it. And when you try something new, especially when people's watching you, it takes you a little bit to make your mind up and say anything about it. You know, traveling across the country, and I'm closing here. Traveling across the country, we love tea. We love tea. I mean, we drink a lot of tea. And you go to different restaurants and whatever, and you know, different places, and everybody's tea tastes different. And you know, that first sip you get, you just kind of go, you know, making sure it's, you know, just kind of trying it out, you know, just kind of seeing if it's going to work or not. And I found out that it don't matter if I'm hungry enough and I'm thirsty enough, it's going to be just fine. So when we try these things that God's dealt with us on, we may have to be like them old cows. I mean, we knock the cows. We sure don't care to throw them on the grill and fry them up, do we? We knock them pretty hard. And they stand there all day long and they burp up that cud and they chew on it. They lay down and they chew on it. All day, half the night. Then they get up and start that process all over again. It don't make much sense to me. I mean, I think swallow it and forget it and be done with it and start over the next day and everything be okay. No, they don't. They're standing there just gnawing and gnawing and gnawing on that. Amen. What's the point? That's the way God feels sometimes about us. I mean, I've laid it out to you. I've gave it to you. I've gave you good things. I've told you nothing but good things. I've gave you the plan of salvation. I've told you how I want you to live. I've told you how I want you to look. I've laid it out. Told you how I want you to walk. I've put it all out for you. Now chew it up, swallow it, and live by it. That's what God's trying to tell us. Don't knock this thing. I've laid it out. It's going to be good. It's good for you. It's going to be profitable for you. You can make it by living by this. And I'm going to give it to you. Quit knocking it, swallow. Follow it and try it. Amen. Man, hallelujah. I love serving God. Amen. Well, strange as it might have sounded, I have tried to help us tonight. I really have, I promise. I've not tried to be funny on purpose. I really haven't, but I hope you've understood where I'm coming from. I hope this makes sense to you. Amen. 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 And don't get to the place where you say, God didn't even deal with me. I believe He has. I believe He has. And let me let you in on a little secret. He ain't going to quit until you try. I've been around some folks who throw you a new dish out and say, try it. And you say, no, it's okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. And they wouldn't shut up until you tried it. And when you tried it, you wished you'd have tried it a little sooner. Brother Morton came in here last night. Come, Sister Michelle. Brother Morton came in last night with a brand new something he tried. Put it together. And I'm telling you, it didn't take long for that little pan he had to just go just about empty. It was good. Amen. Now, don't take me wrong. There's a lot of strange fire in this country. There's a lot of things that ain't real in this country. Don't misunderstand me. Oh, man, I should have preached that a few minutes earlier. Don't misunderstand me and grab a hold of something that just ain't right. But I'm telling you, when God, you know when God's speaking to your heart. You know when it's God. And God ain't going to lead you wrong. He ain't going to show you wrong. Let's not grab a hold of just everything and start going down the table and sampling everything just to say, well, I've tried it, I've tried it, I've tried it. No. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm talking about the issues. The things that's in your heart. The things that's in your life, some of them only you and God knows about. You hear me? Some of them only you and God knew about. That's what I'm talking about. And then the things that God's just simply dealing with you on. You know what He's saying. You know what He's saying. I tell you what I feel like God's saying. We've had a good revival till now. I mean, it's been good. But I feel like the Lord is telling us tonight, come a little closer. Come a little closer. Come a little closer. Oh, Holy Ghost, help us, Jesus. Come a little closer. You know why He's doing that? Because He loves us. He loves us. I said He loves us. My wife and I, when we was going together, talking, whatever what you want to call it. The older folks call it courting. Whatever what you want to call it. We wasn't allowed to sit real close. Wasn't allowed. I mean, it was, Mom and Daddy done laid some rules down, and I knew better to cross them. She did too. Don't fall out with me here. I mean, there was a way to do it. But let me tell you something. After we got married, she slid over and sat in the middle while I drove. I put my arm up on the back of the seat and just pulled her right close. Amen. I loved her. I wanted her close to me. Come on here. God is jealous over you and me. With a godly jealousy. Amen. That's why He says, come closer. Come closer. You sisters feel the same way my wife does. She feels the safest. Besides God being close, she feels the safest when I'm around. Amen. Just the way she feels. That security. She don't feel like anybody can get to her. They have to go through me first. If you're as close to God as you can possibly be, the devil's got to go absolutely through God to get to you. That's why it's so dangerous to drift away from God. Start slacking up. Start picking up things. Laying on things. Doing things you wouldn't normally do. That's why it's so dangerous. You're vulnerable to the enemy. Amen. Amen. Well, stand if you would. I preached a lot longer than I intended. Don't knock it. Just try it. Don't knock it. Just try it. Them young kids in school look at you and say, why do you act the way you act? You know, used to, we could tell them. Well, you know, they say, why do you wear long dresses? And why do you look the way you look? And you guys, why do you? Used to, we could say, well, it's just against my religion to do all the other stuff. But that don't work no more. You have to say, that's what I believe. I'm living this way because I want to. I'm living this way because I want to. I'm being different because I want to. And then look at them and say, don't knock it till you try. Yeah. Yeah. I know I might look different. I know I might act different than you. But don't knock it till you try. Yeah. Them guys in the workplace, I've been around them. Filthy, nasty, rotten to the core. I mean, just absolutely dirty. And they look at you like you're trash. They look at you like you messed up. Not me, buddy. Don't knock it till you try it. When I go to sleep at night, right on out I go. Not a worry. Other than the burden of the gospel ain't a worry. I mean, if I die, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Don't knock it till you try. Man, I preached long. I got this. Let's pray. Come on. Come on. Come to this altar. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. Whatever your situation is, whatever God's been dealing with you on, don't knock it. Don't fuss with it. Don't fight with it. Try it. Give it to God. Stay a hold of God.